Welcome to our last class. Let's start with a word of prayer. Yeah, dear Lord, we are grateful that you have created work. God, we would not be here if it were not for your work. We say that as we would not even exist if you had not worked to create us. And God, we would not be gathered if the work of Christ, his death and resurrection, had not brought us together as a church. God, as we consider your work and the work you have called us to, God, we pray for our time today as class, that we would continue to grow and be purposeful in our work, to not have work be an idol, but to not be idle in our work as well. We pray that you would continue to work in us, that we might worship you well in our work. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so before I get into kind of recapping all that we've gone over, wanted to ask, were there any particular scriptures that have stuck out to you over this class, or any that have been particularly helpful in a situation that has arisen at work, or in this particular season at your work? Amen.
What stuck in my mind is the two words in Colossians 3:22, people pleaser. Mm. Just like that's a very, first of all, it's got alliteration, so it's easy to remember. But it's a very, very graphic image of what we're not to do, not by way of eye services we believe. And so what's it look like to try to please the Lord in our work?
Yeah.
So
that
little phrase.
That's good. Yeah, that's definitely... That passage has definitely been a major go-to in this series. Very helpful in aligning how we work. All right, well, here is my 5-10 minute, I don't know how long it takes me to read this, summary of our 9 classes before this one, teaching that I've taught with John. Week 1 was a theology of work, and here we looked at 4 acts, sections in time of work, starting with creation, that God is a worker. We looked at Genesis 1, that he creates humans to reflect who he is, and so we are given work as well, to reproduce, to subdue creation. Ultimately, we said here that the original purpose of human work was the advancement of human flourishing to the glory of God. And that our work is first and foremost worship. But then what happens, right? As we continue in Genesis, what happens? Is that how work stays? Is that how work is today? No. No, what happened?
Sin.
Yes. The fall, right? Adam and Eve sin, and work is subsequently cursed in Genesis 3. Work becomes toilsome and futile, right? Our ability to worship in our work is crippled by our sin and dead upon arrival. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loves us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, right? We see redemption in Christ through his death and resurrection for all who turn to him in faith and repentance. It's important to note that our work, though, is not redeemed, right? Our work is still cursed. God has given us new hearts and made it so that we can worship him even in our broken, cursed work. So now we eagerly await the restoration of creation, where toil and futility are removed from work and work produces only flourishing and abundance. And we see this pictured in, saw this pictured in Deuteronomy 6 and Revelation 21. So that was the first week. theology of our work. Second week was thorns in our work. Here we talked about two major traps we can fall into in our work. The first was idolatry. We considered Luke 18, Luke's accounting of what we studied in Matthew last week. The man's wealth was an idol. His work was his righteousness. But we know that work is broken by sin and cannot offer righteousness. We also considered the sin of idleness. The pendulum can swing back too far from idolatry. Like we say, no, we don't care at all about work. It's not important, which is not the case. We considered, this is when we first considered Colossians 3, 22 through 24. One of our major themes, we are to work with sincerity of heart, heartily as for the Lord and not for men. So this leaves us with no room for idleness, because even if our bosses don't care how hard we work, God does. He created us to work and worship him through that work. Week three, we talked about how the gospel changes our work. We talked about the importance of all kinds of work God calls us to and to consider how God works. We talked about the value of both work in the secular world and work in ministry. We considered James 3:1, right? Which says, let not many of you become teachers. And we particularly drew attention to the fact that God doesn't need us to work to accomplish his purposes, right? He is perfectly efficient to proclaim Jesus while we will stumble mightily in that same task. But God calls us to this stumbling in our sanctification for his purposes and for his glory. If our work is worship, we can worship God in secular and in the work of ministry. Both are good callings of God. And in any facet of work, if we ignore God, even to a good cause like work and ministry, we are in sin. We also talked here about the wrong thinking that our work is completely divorced from our worship, that we can compartmentalize our work so that it's completely separate from the lives Jesus has saved us to live. We talked about the gospel transforms our whole lives, which includes how we work. We were again pointed to Colossians 3, that even our work in the secular realm can be for God, right? He says, whatever you do. He leaves the type of work very broad there. Week 4 was a spirit-filled vision for work. Here we considered how we evaluate our effectiveness in work, which is not in results defined by numbers of people saved or churches planted, but in how do we define success in our work?
Faithfulness.
That's right. Faithfulness. Right? We considered examples of people's work situations, and we had a particular inspired performance by Matt Atkinson in one of the scenarios. I didn't remember what scenario it was, but I remember him reading it enthusiastically for us. But in this, we've considered whether they were successful based on where they were. We considered Matthew 25, where the master cared about faithfulness over results. We considered how to grow in our faithfulness through prayer, discussion with our brothers and sisters, and periodically reviewing ourselves. Week 5 was managing time and finding balance. And here we considered how to find balance in our work. We considered Matthew 6:33 as our primary calling, to seek God's kingdom and his righteousness first. That because the gospel permeates our whole lives, this call needs no balancing, right? We talked about Ephesians 2:12, which says we were created in Jesus to walk in good works. And this is our secondary callings. This is the whatever you do in Colossians 3. We considered strategies for navigating these secondary responsibilities well. Week 6 was ethics in the workplace. Here we considered the importance of acting ethically in the workplace, because the way in which we act reflects on our God. God cares about our character. We consider Matthew 23, where the Pharisees' unethical conduct outweighed their outward works of righteousness and betrayed their hearts. We looked at strategies to address ethical dilemmas. where we have varying degrees of clarity of our situation in Scripture. Week 7 was managing relationships at work. Here we considered our relationships at work, particularly through the lens of Matthew 22, 35 through 40. We considered how we could follow Jesus' command to love our neighbors and our work. We looked at not complaining, submission to authority, humility, and godly competitiveness. Week 8 was evangelism in our workplace. Here we considered 2 Corinthians 5, 17 and 19 through 20, that we are Christ's ambassadors. We consider that evangelism isn't, and also talked through specifically what it is. We talked through barriers in our evangelism and habits we can subscribe to privately and publicly to be faithful ambassadors of Christ. And then last week, we looked at looking for and leaving a job well. We considered how to do these well. We considered three must-haves for a job. Does it glorify God? Does it permit me to live a godly life? Does it provide for my needs and allow me to be a blessing to others, particularly looking at 1 Timothy 5, 8 and 6, 8? We also looked at several nice-to-haves when considering a job. In leaving jobs, we considered Romans 12, 17 through 18 and 21, that we should seek to do others good. Even if we are leaving a job because of evil we have suffered, we should not repay evil for evil, but seek to do good and overcome evil with good. All right, so that's 9 previous weeks. All these are recorded and available on the website in podcast form. Also, the underlying curriculum that we use is available on Capitol Hill Baptist Church's website as well. Any questions on that overview? Yes.
Could you completely repeat it?
Okay, yeah, we'll just start it over again. It will be on the recording, so you can...
Didn't we just have this conversation?
Yeah. Do you have a question, or are you just stretching?
Oh, sorry. By the way, I think Matt was Faithless Felicia.
Faithless Felicia, okay. I knew it was a woman, based on his performance. All right, so any questions... Like I said, I have lots of questions to prompt. But any questions about work, things that have come up in your work, or things that you've been thinking about that haven't necessarily fallen into another class?
Well, you work with incompetent people, so difficult.
It is difficult to work with incompetent people. Yeah.
Especially when the bosses don't want to talk about it.
Yes.
This so is that's where I am. So I'm trying to keep the Christian walk, but it's very difficult.
That's good. Because ultimately... The boss that you work for is supremely competent over everything.
That's right.
And in his wisdom, he has put you in a situation that is rather frustrating and seems unjust and
ridiculous.
But yeah. Right? Yeah, that's the, always be hesitant to pray for patience because you'll be put in a frustration.
You repeat yourself constantly, Colossians 3:23.
Yes, that's right. That's good to remember.
It's not about patience, though. It's really not
right,
about
yeah.
It's
yeah,
about
I wonder.
Doing someone else's work. That's what it's about.
Yeah.
That's what's difficult.
Yeah. That's not how it should be.
But yeah,
when someone else is able to do, or
unable to do it.
Right, but because of a lack of agency or whatever it is on their part.
Lack of whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know what you want to call it.
Yeah. That's frustrating.
Thank you.
All right, well, one question that was brought up, I think last week you asked about telework, so that got me thinking. A lot of I think the curriculum does a good job of not tailoring discussion or not tailoring the lesson to just office jobs. I think in kind of my personalizations, I'm always thinking in the context of an office job, but yeah, I think there's good opportunity to talk about telework and with that also solo work, right? There may be some who don't work with other individuals. They might work by themselves. So I want to start with that. Does anyone's Does anyone's work primarily involve just themselves?
I work with my cat, not by myself.
It's okay if you work by yourself.
Ultimately, yeah. You work with others, though, because yeah. When you go to sell the product.
So what is it that you do? Pottery. Okay. Make pottery, right? Yeah, it's not like you do part of it and hand it off to me, and I am no part of that. I do not have any of the, God has not gifted me with any of those abilities.
It could be with muscles to help me.
Yeah, that's, I can move it generally. It's packaged well, yeah. have you seen particular benefits that come with working by yourself?
Yes. I mean, right now, I worked completely by myself before Grace for many years at home, just by myself. But now it's like split between taking care of Grace and
yeah.
But yes, you have your own schedule. I can make my own schedule for good and for bad. If I procrastinate, I'm the only one it hurts, but it ends up hurting, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it gives you lots of flexibility. Yeah. Are there particular difficulties? You know, you highlighted, procrastination. Sometimes you don't, there's no inherent outside driving forces.
Yeah, I think it's also largely dependent on your personality. Like, it doesn't bother me to be by myself, to like working by myself. But like, you eventually like want to talk to other people. So like, there's a group of 4 or 5 potters in the area, and we get together for coffee like once a month just to like, kind of like, they're not co-workers, but you know, people who do the same thing as you to talk about what you're doing.
Yeah.
But I think it's more certain people in certain seasons, probably.
Yeah. Do you find that working by yourself, it is easier to work for God and not for man, or do you feel like it's harder, or... When you're working, do you think, I'm making these pots for God?
Is that... Not largely. I think I should be faithful. Like, he's given me this opportunity, and this season, this is my job. I should try and do it well. But it's not a particularly, I mean, it's literally me and my cat. Evangelistic, you know, day to day at home by myself. But it does, to seldom, get me out in front of a lot of people, to talk to a lot of people, and have conversations. And
yeah.
There's choices to make. Like, I could sign up for a craft show like every Sunday if I wanted, but I make a choice to only do like one or two that fall on. You know, there are certainly ways that I choose to hopefully try and honor God in it, but it's not, it's largely just me.
Yeah. That's good. Anybody else work by themselves? Maybe not now, but in the past, have you worked by yourself? No other sole proprietors here. All right, well, let's kind of pivot off of that and think about telework. Raise your hand if you spend a significant amount of time teleworking. Okay. I'm curious, was this changed by COVID? Before COVID, did you spend much time teleworking still?
Yes. I was half 2 days a week.
Okay, you're still. Yeah. Yeah, for me, I had the option to telework, but before I got to my current position, I teleworked. But the current position, it wasn't until COVID that I started teleworking in that specific position. But that changed things a bit. What are benefits to teleworking that you've seen, particularly in relation to topics discussed in this class?
Especially because my work's so busy, I have a lot more like time with family. Like, there's more that I can do, and like I can balance. Like, it would be really, really hard to do my job and go into the city every day.
Yeah.
And still be able to like
see your family.
All the things that like I'm able to do because of distance.
Yeah. How much time would you estimate you spend? I mean, I know it can vary, but a day on the road if you had to commute?
Yeah, 2 to 3 hours.
Okay. Yes, that's a lot of time. Save. Would you commend telework to other Christians as a benefit they should seek out as they're able for that time back?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think there's definitely like a lot of things that I miss, and just like the interaction of, like, you just have fewer evangelism opportunities. You can't just like share the gospel. Like, it just doesn't come up naturally on Zoom when you're, you know.
Right.
I've like found ways to have more conversations, or like I spend a lot of time one-on-one with members of my team on Zoom so we can have other conversations. But a lot of that's because we had that relationship from before when we would just go get coffee in the office, or we would go get lunch, or just spend time together. So
yeah.
Like, I don't know that my telework experience would be the same, and my evangelism opportunities would look the same if I hadn't previously spent time in the office.
Do any of your other coworkers like live down here?
No, okay. They all live in.
Yeah. Well, the way it's going, soon we're going to have virtual offices where everyone's going to have the meta glasses on.
That's right.
We're just going to be in our basement. It'll look like we're in our office. And
that's right.
Somebody can talk to them.
I was going to say, for the family, the evangelism for the family is huge. Telework. I mean, you know, we get so much more out of him and his wisdom, you know.
That's
keeping
good.
Me in line.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah, that's a good way to think about it. It's that just, it's not that you no longer have the ability to evangelize or disciple. It's just your audience changes.
I think a lot of it too has to do with the individual's personality and the way they're wired, whether or not I need the structure of going into work to actually get work done. When I'm at home, I get some work done, but then I don't.
I think one of the biggest challenges...
Not me. No, it's all me.
One of the biggest challenges with teleworking is, like Rebecca said, she had relationships with people already, right?
Mm-hmm.
But those new people who come in, it's difficult to establish those relationships with those new people because you don't have that opportunity to, or at least it's not...
It's always in the professional setting, right?
Right.
Yeah, there's no water, no virtual water cooler.
That's probably the biggest challenge for me. Yeah.
Don't have our goggles on because it's a virtual water cooler. I think just observing her life, one of the other challenges is it makes the work balance a little bit difficult.
Yeah.
You can go from meeting to meeting to meeting, and there is literally no turnover time needed. You press close and you open a new meeting, and you don't move chairs. You don't like.
Yeah.
You just move on, right? Like, in the real world, like, you have to move. You have to move from this office to that office. Or, you know, there's an expectation that you need time to go to the bathroom, you know? Like, something like that. Where with virtual, especially with the kind of work she does, which is a lot of meetings, like, she can literally just have meeting after meeting after meeting with zero, literally, scheduled to the minute between them, or overlapping even, and have no chance to get up. So that's one of the disadvantages of being tied to a desk.
Yeah.
And everybody else tied to their desk because there's no built-in kind of freedom in between.
I would pose the question that, and I pose this question to myself because I am not a teleworker by nature.
Okay.
My default would be to be in the office every day, but I'm not in a situation based on my current job that makes it practical. And God presented this job, and we took this job based on that. And in the middle of COVID, moved to Virginia, and then took this teleworking job. My question has been all along: why did God give me this position where I'm doing this? And I think part of it is to learn self-control and discipline, but also work-life balance, because. Like Kellen just mentioned, I mean, there are days if I don't pay attention, I can end up rooted in my chair for 4 hours, and when I get up, my body is very unhappy with me because my legs have decided that they are cramped up, and they're not going to move, and I have to like start forcing my body to function again. It's extremely bad for you.
Yeah.
But it's for whatever reason, God has placed us, a lot of us, into a position now where we are working from home. And so it's, I believe that there's a reason for it. We just don't know what it is, or, you know, we're learning as we go.
Internally in our office, we've purposely started scheduling meetings to start at 10 minutes after the hour and ending them on the hour.
Mm-hmm.
So that we have at least 10 minutes between the meetings
to get up,
to allow people to get up.
That's great.
That
one of the challenges too.
What's that?
That was very wise.
One of the challenges too I've noticed with my life, because my work is
always
out. Always out. But with her, it's difficult on the whole work-life balance. When you get up and you go to an office, there's a mental shift. It's like,
yeah,
okay, I'm putting away home, I'm going to work. And then when you leave the office, it's like, okay, work is done, now I'm at home. But when she's not doing that, where, you know, your workplace is your home. And so
it's always at an arm's length.
Yeah,
right?
You don't get that disconnect from work that you would. And that can be very challenging.
Yeah.
For me, I'm with my new position, I'm discovering that I bring, having just said what I said, I bring my work home far too much. And I get home and I'm immediately back checking my emails, back checking my texts.
Until 9 o'clock at night sometimes.
And so.
On business calls.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just hard to disconnect.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's an interesting perception. I think the default perception with telework is that it just allows people to kind of do their own thing and not pay attention. And but I think it can swing the other way too, where actually, like, yeah, that separation isn't there, and then work can become more of an idol, where it's harder to
more productive than telework.
Yeah.
Overall, because a lot of my job is start something and you gotta wait for it.
Yeah.
Wait for it to patch, wait for it to download. So if I'm at work, I'm just sitting at my desk, I'm waiting for it. But from my home, I can do other things. Like I can, you know.
Right upstairs, and it's on the
Or work on taxes this time of year, or whatever. You know, I can be more productive in my wait time.
Yeah.
You know, while I'm still monitoring it.
Uh-huh.
So.
Depends on what you do.
Right, yep.
Well, like you said, like you have like half and half now. Like, having like a 40-minute drive in for minutes like on the way home, like you listen to podcasts, like you shift gears between those two. You have that time, but then like at home, it's a lot. There's certainly a benefit of flexibility. Like when I was sick the other week, you could take her to school and pick her up. But like you don't have that shift to like now I'm home versus now I'm at work. For sure, like the commute has some benefit.
Yeah.
At least it's shorter.
Yeah.
Not long.
It's interesting because they've decided to start bringing us all in on the same day, because we're all required to come in at least once a week, and they're going to bring us all in on the same day. And somebody commented that we will be less productive, and the vice president said, "We understand that you will be less productive on that day." And we're all like, "Oh, okay."
Our office did that too.
It's the least productive day of the week or the month, because it's part of it's just like building relationships. Right?
Yeah.
That was
yeah, there's maybe a less.
They just want everyone there.
Yeah,
it's a less
there
tangible that
doing,
of what the productive is.
Right.
But
like we have our all hands. You know, if we have any training or whatever, that's when it happens. Is when everybody's in the office.
Depends on how you define productivity.
Yeah, our office actually like put together two jigsaw puzzles, and they like assigned people teams, and you had so many weeks to get this jigsaw puzzle done.
Oh my gosh.
So people had to be in the office though to put to work on it. That's hilarious.
Yeah, I mean they didn't want you like doing it all day long. Not one person to puzzle all day.
That's right.
But it was like on your breaks, go do the jigsaw puzzle so that we'd all get together.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. It's like that's one thing our office has been trying to think through. How do we, like, while people are remote, especially our office is under construction, so people can't go in right now. There's six people who can be in on the office because we're elsewhere. But like for the next 6 months, it's under construction. So how do you continue to like build a relationship and build morale? Because we found like people get really discouraged, or they're not as likely to stay, or they just things don't run as smoothly when you don't have those relationships. People don't know who to go to and who to talk to. So it is really hard to try to figure out remotely, how do you get people to build relationships? How do you get people to like talk to you? Like right now we're doing a March Madness, you know, to try to like get people engaged in chat, but it is really hard to try to replicate that personal connection.
Right.
We have a team chat where people vent.
That's interesting though, you know, you talked about also like the evangelistic opportunities. It's interesting that there's crossover there that kind of everyone recognizes that without being co-located, that there's a certain amount of, there's something that is lost. And so, trying to think through, you know, how, you know, those, you know, puzzles or whatever the work is putting together, the days in, those are opportunities for the team to go to get cohesion on the work they're doing, but you know, maybe that's also opportunity to build for relationships outside of work and other kind of evangelistic opportunities and just getting to know to even just be able to pray well for your coworkers.
So what was the original question?
Just talking through telework. Any other thoughts about benefits or difficulties in teleworks, you know, specifically as we as Christians want to worship God in our work?
Well, I started teleworking when the kids were younger so that I could, so it gave me incredible flexibility.
Yeah.
So I could do things at school with them, or I could do whatever, run into the doctors, whatever. Because he worked in a secure location, I had to be the available parent.
Right.
So it gave me ability to work, but to also have the flexibility to be the parent. So it was a great arrangement.
That's good.
At the time, you know. I mean, before COVID, and when the kids were little, going through high school and everything, you were available.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah, that's good.
Now they're all grown up, that has changed the scenario, so.
That's for
grandkids.
That's right. I think one of the challenges, or one of the things that we have to be careful about with telework is, you know, God calls us to do our work to the best of our ability, right?
Yeah.
And oftentimes telework can lend itself to, you know, well, I don't have anything to do right now, so other things.
There's a shelf that he's putting together in the other room.
Yeah. So I think we need to be careful about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're being productive for what we're paid for, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
What we're being paid for, I should say.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when you're at the office,
you don't have the
office. Yeah. You can't do those other things. And so you either are productive or you do nothing, one of the two. You shop it online or whatever. Right? Or depending on your job, right? But when you're at home, away from that, the confines of an office or an infrastructure site or wherever you work, you don't have those. And so it's important for people to log their hours, right, if they're not going to work all that time. Because when you're at the office, you have to log your hours because you're there. You can't do anything else. But if you're home and you're going to do something else, well, you don't log your hours because you're not doing what you said you're going to do. That's like it's a catch-22 in my book.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to be honest, you know. And it's hard to prove that you're actually working from home without like paperwork that you submit, right? If you're doing like a month-long project and you need to submit at the end of the month, well, if you get done in the first 2 weeks, what do you do the rest of the time, right? You don't log your hours. You get a new project in real life. That's what you should do as a Christian, but you only want the month.
Yeah.
And so going into the office can be a benefit to people who appreciate the confines.
Yeah.
You know, going into the shopping center, wherever you work, you know.
It's all true.
Yeah.
I've known a lot of people that go in the office and do nothing but just chill.
There's no shortage of idleness.
They can't work on your personal stuff other than, like you said, online shopping or whatever, but Facebook or whatever your work allows you to get to on the internet, right?
Right.
Right. So that's also breeds to like how do you make that business for the glory of God, right? If your business and your employer are wasting the company's money with needless employees, you should probably say something about that in a professional way, if thought through and stuff like that. That's the kind of thing that managers do, right? They identify deficiencies in their company. I know for the federal government as a contractor, there are a wide variety of federal government employees, some that are hard chargers that do want to make the world better, you want to save the planet, and then there's some who just want to stay there till they get their retirement check. And that's true everywhere, but where I work, none of them can ever get fired. But in a private company, you can.
Yeah.
You can get rid of deficiencies. So
yeah, a couple of things to unpack from what you've been saying. One, I think the self-introspection and the consideration of, maybe I have the option to telework, but maybe I know or others have lovingly confided in me that they've seen that I can be prone to idleness. Well, maybe I need to weigh, like, what are the benefits versus how will I be able to glorify God if I'm teleworking it? And if you come away from that that prayer and introspection saying, actually, no, it would be better for me to go into the office because I'll bring God more glory in what I'm doing and doing that. That's definitely something we should do. And then also kind of thinking about thoughts on telework versus working for the boss. I think sometimes we can think, oh, I'm getting one over on the boss, right? I'm able to not do, and still everyone thinks that I'm working, I'm productive, even though I know I'm not. And that's another area where we got to remember that we don't just work for a person who has finite capabilities to assess the situation. We work for God, who has infinite abilities and knows our hearts better than we do. So we're never pulling one over on the boss in that sense, right? God always knows our hearts.
I think that's one of the things, you know, if you're in that kind of hybrid where you have to be in the office a certain number of days or whatever it may be, that we need to know ourselves and what we're productive at and what we're not productive at.
Yeah.
I know in my job, I have to do a lot of reading.
Okay.
I mean, this meeting I just went to, there were 20 information papers that I had to read, and one of them was 495 pages. And I'm not going to take myself into the office and sit there and read for 8 hours of the day. That just makes zero sense.
Yeah.
But when I have meetings, maybe that would be more productive if I am in the office.
Yeah.
You know, so I have to kind of judge my schedule and then say, where will I be the most productive?
Yeah.
Right.
It's good even planning out what you're going to do, what days, and in which setting. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it can go both ways. The pendulum can swing both ways when it comes to teleworking.
Yeah.
Because, yes, you can get challenged with over or underworking and finding yourself getting distracted by building the shelves in the other room, is just an example, or whatever. But, like, there are some people like myself where when I was forced into teleworking, it's like I have this little inner voice in my head that says when you're working, you're supposed to be working. And if I'm in my home and it's – when I did not telework before COVID hit, I never brought my laptop home, even though I could. And I told my boss when I first got hired, you will never see me take my laptop home because if my laptop is at home at work, that's not healthy.
Yeah.
So that was one of the ways I defined how to separate my work and my home life. But when COVID hit, and suddenly that laptop had to be in my house, and then I took a job that required teleworking.
Yeah.
I have found that there are times where I will get so fixated on the screen in front of me and meetings in front of me and everything else that I forget to blink, I forget to get up, I forget to hydrate.
Yeah.
And then you get yourself into a situation where you're not healthy and you're not taking care of yourself. So I've had to, you know, consciously tell myself to get up, to hydrate, to do those things. And in that way, that can also be a dangerous place as well.
Yeah.
And so you've got to, I think it just depends on the person as to why telework sometimes can be problematic.
Yeah. That's one of the insidious things about sin is that it can swing you off the path in opposite directions, right? We may see something as, oh, that's obviously sin, so I'm going to go completely in the opposite way. And actually, that can also be sin.
Yeah.
Well, this has been a great discussion. I wanted to just prompt and see, you know, if there are any present work situations that anyone is dealing with that they would like prayer for, that we could pray for you well. Yeah.
I have a coworker that is struggling with an addiction issue, and everybody in the office is aware of it. But he's trying. He is struggling hard. And he's a great guy to be around. But this is really taxing for him.
Okay. Good for that, for sure.
This week, I've got to go meet with somebody who has actively written letters about me, thinks that I'm somehow out to get them. And I'm not allowed to really explain or define why or what to this person, or tell them that they are wrong, or have this kind of conversation with them because of my job. But I'm very cognizantly aware that this person has this really terrible impression of me that has really no foundation. But I've got to meet with them for like a full day this week. They've decided they've invited themselves to this meeting, and I'm just I need prayer on just discernment and wisdom and trying to do my job well in context.
Okay. Yeah.
I just have some very frustrating things happening with like projects that just like the lack of communication from outside offices and things that are done in a really inefficient way. But specifically prayer for like my attitude and the way that I talk about it, especially to my team. Just like wanting to still be like, even when I'm frustrated or even when people like I have to do people's jobs for them. Just the way that I speak about other people would be a way that would honor Christ and a way that would demonstrate that, like, even though, yes, they're aware that this situation is frustrating, and they see that I respond differently, so just praying here for, like, wisdom, and that I would just, in frustrating or difficult situations, respond in a way that honors the Lord and is a witness to my team, because it's very easy. Like, they know what's happening, so it's very easy for me to, like,
use that as an outlet.
About people,
yeah.
Or, you know, prayers for patience and wisdom from that.
Okay.
That would be the same way for me, to respond properly. Because I kind of lost it last week, so. Yeah. It's all about your response, because God's fully aware.
Yep.
But, you know. But you let the frustration get too high, and you can't let that happen. So. Doesn't honor God.
That's right. All right, well, why don't I close us in prayer and pray for these things. Yeah, God, we are grateful that you have given us each other, God, that we can build each other up, God, that you have given us all different jobs, different positions in our jobs. We have encountered different circumstances. We have seen your faithfulness in so, so many ways. I pray that we would be an encouragement to each other for that faithfulness. God, I pray that we would strive for faithfulness in our work, God, that we would honor you, that we would work for you and not as people pleasers, not for men. I specifically pray for Scott as he seeks to love and have compassion for this coworker that is struggling with addiction. As this coworker is confronted with his own sin and in a public setting, God, I just pray that there would be opportunity for the gospel, opportunity for help, professional help or however that may come. I pray that you would use Scott in yeah, whatever capacity that you have placed him in that job for. Yeah, there's many reasons that you've placed him there, and we pray that yeah, that he might be able to show the beauty and salvation of Jesus to this coworker. Yeah, for Andrea, God, we pray, yeah, for her meeting with this individual who, yeah, has a contentious relationship with her this week and slanderous. God, we pray that, yeah, that Andrea would have a grace, yeah, that she would, yeah, remember the great grace and patience that that you have had with her. How much you have loved her. Yeah, we pray for wisdom as Andrea even thinks about how to navigate this meeting well within the confines of what she can and can't do, given her yeah, HR situation and work situation. Yeah, we pray that, that Andrea would rely on Jesus and your word to navigate this well. Yeah, Lord, we pray for Rebecca and Camille as they, deal with frustration of individuals and departments and, yeah, just the thorns of work, God. Yeah, we pray that they would know that this work is finite, God, that this would be, a reminder against the worthlessness of treating this work as an idol, as it cannot bear the fruit that they desire. Yeah, we pray, yeah, specifically as they navigate relationships with individuals who may not be doing what they're supposed to be doing or may not even have the competency to do what they are required to do. Yeah, they would honor Christ in talking about these fellow image bearers who are idle. Yeah, that they would be quick to forgive, God, that they would, yes, speak the truth in love, that we pray, yeah, that you would help them to navigate these situations. Yeah, they would not be prone to act like the world acts, but would, model Christ. God, we cannot do any of these things within our own power. We need the power of your Spirit moving and working and growing in us, which we have been given by Christ's death and resurrection that we've been sealed with. And so we pray, that you would help us to do all these things. Again, Lord, that you would be glorified in our work, that our work would